This is the second forum in a series of five forums with the candidates for Little Rock Mayor. The series is presented by the Central Arkansas Library System, the League of Women Voters, the American Association of University Women, and KUAR 89.1, UA Little Rock Public Radio. This second forum is about crime. It was taped live Monday night, September 17th, at John Gould Fletcher Library. It should be noted that about 45 minutes into the forum, a woman in the audience collapsed, prompting the candidates and audience members, which included a doctor, to respond until first responders arrived and took her to the hospital. The incident lasted about 17 minutes before the forum continued where it left off. We have removed this audio from the broadcast in the interest of time, but you may notice some references to the incident toward the end of the broadcast.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the second in a series of five public forums with candidates for Little Rock Mayor. The topic of tonight's hour-long discussion is crime. Our next two forums will be about infrastructure and education. The final forum will be a discussion of general topics. This series is presented by the Central Arkansas Library System, the League of Women Voters of Pulaski County, the American Association of University Women, and KUAR 89.1 FM. UA Little Rock Public Radio. I'm Bobby Ampazon of Arkansas Public Media, and I'll be your moderator this evening. Tonight's format will include opening introductions by the candidates, followed by a series of predetermined questions written by the League of Women Voters, the American Association of University Women, and myself. The candidates have not seen tonight's questions. After that, we'll wrap up with questions from you, the audience, and then closing statements from each candidate. Everyone, please welcome to the stage, they're already there, your candidates for mayor of the city of Little Rock. Before sitting down at the stage, candidates drew numbers from a hat to determine the order in which they answer. That will determine the order of introductions, and they are in the order that you see here at the table. After that, candidates will rotate the order of who answers first. We only have an hour tonight, so let's begin. Question number one for Mr. Tolliver. Do you feel like Little Rock has a crime problem?
Skip the introduction.
Did we do an introduction?
I'm sorry, I did skip the introduction.
Yes, Bobby, you did.
We only have an hour tonight, so let's begin now. Mr. Vincent Tolliver will go first. You have 1 minute to introduce yourself.
Thank you, Bobby, and certainly thank you to the League of Women Voters, to CALS, to KUAR, for you in the audience and also the listeners. This is a standing room only crowd. I am thrilled to be here at John Gould Fletcher Library. My name is Vincent Tolliver. I am a candidate for mayor of Little Rock. I was born 2 hours away from here in a small town called Lake Village. My mother at the time of my birth on a Sunday was 15 years old. 4 days later, she turned 16. She taught me two things. One, I'm your mother, not your friend. And two, treat people the way you want to be treated. And so that's what I expect to bring to the city of Little Rock, a mayor that treats everyone like he wants to be treated, and by extension, a city that does exactly the same thing. Thank you. I appreciate your support. And vote on October 22nd through November 6th.
Thank you, Mr. Tolliver. Mr. Glenn Schwartz, you have 1 minute.
And I am Glenn Schwartz, also a candidate for mayor. Mayor Schwartz be with you. Remember that, on November 6th. I have a very eclectic background. I've been a teacher and a recycle center owner. I've been in journalism for the last 15 years, newspapers. Let's get right to the issues. I have three issues I want to bring to your attention. You may notice I'm also the president of Arkansas Normal. We meet here in the little meeting room tomorrow night, Wednesday night, I believe, at 6:30. But my first issue is to decriminalize marijuana in Arkansas, and I think that's going to relate somehow to the crime issue that we're addressing tonight. Second, I'm going to provide recycle services to all the citizens of Little Rock, not just the ones that live in the houses. And third, I want to prepare the city for what I think could be exponential growth in the future. I think They're almost there, so I'm going to sit down.
Thank you, Mr. Schwartz. Warwick Sabin, you have 1 minute.
Thank you very much. Public safety is the most important responsibility of any government, and as mayor, it will be my urgent priority. 2017 was one of the most violent years in the history of the city of Little Rock in terms of homicide, in terms of rape, in terms of aggravated assault. And everywhere I go in the city, I meet somebody who's been the victim of a violent crime, or who's been violated by a home break-in or a car break-in, or who've called 911 and the police were slow to respond, if they even show up at all. And I talk to the police who say that they know that they are having trouble covering the whole city, but they don't have the manpower or the resources to do it. I talk to real estate agents who have trouble selling houses because of the perception of violent crime as well as the reality, and people who have trouble recruiting people to work in their businesses, or a lack of visitors, or a lack of people showing up to shop in stores in Little Rock because of our crime problem. I have a plan to address this issue. I look forward to talking about it tonight, and I appreciate the opportunity. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Sabin. Baker Curris, you have 1 minute.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be with you this evening. I've traveled all over this town on foot and on a bike, and everywhere I go, the number one issue is crime. We know that. We all know the statistics. We know that we're listed anywhere from 4th to 19th as the most violent crime producer in the country. We've been ranked as high as first and now second among cities with 200,000 or less. That's got to change, and that's got to change soon. Crime is personal. The statistics are one thing, but what really touches me is the personal nature of crime. It touches all of us, either directly or indirectly, but all of us are impacted, whether that's because of our neighborhoods, our feeling of not being safe, our feeling of not being secure, is something we have to deal with, and I have a plan to deal with that. I've dealt with these sorts of issues before, and it's going to be very difficult, but it can be done. It's going to take a lot of hard work, and it's going to take a lot of commitment by our community as a whole. I'm looking forward to the discussion this evening and looking forward to working with each of you because this is a community problem we'll solve together.
Thank you, Mr. Curris. Frank Scott, you have 1 minute.
Good evening, and thank you. My name is Frank Scott, Jr., born, raised, and I still reside in Southwest Little Rock. I'm a product of Little Rock Public Schools, an associate pastor, a banker, a former senior advisor to Governor Mike Beebe, and a former state highway commissioner. The reason why I'm running for mayor of my hometown is because it's time to unify our city, secure our neighborhoods, help create jobs for all, increase and help make certain there's an education for all, and also to make certain that we engage our youth so they can reach their full potential. Those are the reasons why I'm running for mayor, and public safety is critical to making certain all of that happens. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Scott. Now on to our questions, which, again, all have to do with the theme of crime. Despite my earlier snafu, we are actually going to mix up the order here, and so for this next question, we'll begin with candidate Glenn Schwartz. Mr. Schwartz, do you feel like Little Rock has a crime problem?
Well, sure, it has a crime problem. In fact, we've in the previous debates, we were all seeing the accolades of Little Rock, but crime is the ugly underbottom of this city. I believe, and my basic premise is, that if we were to revisit the war on drugs, decriminalize marijuana, revisit all of these drugs to make sure that their sentences, when people get busted for drugs, should not be sentenced to more time than somebody that has committed a violent or a real crime or a crime with victims. I believe that if we revisit that and at least decriminalize or legalize marijuana in Little Rock and then reduce sentences for even the harder drugs, that this will allow the police and the courts and the criminal justice system to concentrate on real crime and make those sentences commensurate with the kinds of crimes that are being committed that really hurt people.
Thank you, Mr. Schwartz. Warwick Sabin, you have 1 minute.
Well, we definitely have a crime problem, and as I indicated in my initial opening, the statistics bear it out. 2017, 55 homicides. As of today, 25 homicides in Little Rock just this year, and as I was canvassing neighborhoods yesterday afternoon, I got a report over my phone that the police were investigating two possible more homicides. Rapes are actually up in 2018 over 2017. I think there have been 144 rapes in Little Rock this year. And that affects every woman and every man in this city, when you're scared to go, you know, gas up your car after dark or go to the grocery store and walk through the parking lot at night, we have a crime problem, and it's affecting every neighborhood in the city. You know, there isn't a person who isn't touched by crime, either personally or because it's affecting our ability to come together as a city and solve other problems. We need to get this right first. It's the number one priority of government, and it's my number one priority as your next mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Sabin. Baker Curris, you have 1 minute.
Well, there's no denying we have a huge crime problem. It's the number one issue that people talk to me about. It's the number one issue people talk to me about at the grocery store or when I'm gassing up my car. And do you notice you don't see a lot of people gassing up after dark now? Not nearly as many as used to. You don't see people walking on the streets like they used to. And when you do, the first question you have in your mind is, I wonder if everything's okay. Why are they wandering around after dark? Well, we used to do that every day. And it's not going to help us at all to talk about it. It's going to be hard work. We can fix this, but it's going to take a lot of real, serious, industrious work by all of us. Neighborhood watch is important. Neighborhood revitalization is critical. You have crime in neighborhoods that are not succeeding. That's the biggest issue. And if we all stick together and work together, we can solve these issues. But it's not going to be throwing money at a problem. We don't have the money to throw. And we already spend maybe $80 million if you add this direct police budget with other things that we spend in criminal courts and in supporting the jail. We've got a lot of work to do here.
Mr. Curris, thank you. Candidate Frank Scott, you have 1 minute.
Yes, we clearly have a crime problem in our city. However, our crime issue is not a disease. It's a symptom of not addressing the root causes, which is poverty and education in our city. Until we address those two things, we will always have this rampant crime that we all are experiencing every day and every night. What we have to understand is that our city has to unify. We have to understand that the crime issues that we have are directly related to education and poverty. And once we address those two issues, our crime will then begin to decrease. I want to make certain that we all know that the crime, not only is that an issue, but we also have to make certain that we have a police force that reflects and resembles our city and understands our city, so we won't have issues that bear intact because we haven't had de-escalation tactics or the understanding of an implicit bias. We have to understand these issues first. We have to make certain that we have a police force. We have to be tough, fair, but practical. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Scott. Vincent Tolliver, you have 1 minute.
Thank you, Bobby. Certainly, I agree with all the candidates. We do have a crime problem. However, I'd like to point out in all of the measured areas, crime has gone down from 2017 with the exception of rape. Ward was absolutely correct that there were 25 homicides in this year, up to date this year, but he wasn't correct. Last year, the number wasn't 50-something. It was 41. So last year in 2017, we had 41 homicides. And to date, up until today, we've had 25. So I wanted to make that correction. So when you think about crime, I think it is important, as Frank mentioned, to consider other mitigating factors. Education is one. Poverty is another. But then I'll add additional ones. We have to think about economics, and we have to think about mental health. If people have jobs, if they're feeding and working and taking care of their families, they're not out committing crimes. And so if you think about when I look around the room, the people in here, we're not the ones that are out committing crimes. So we have to think about economics.
Thank you, Mr. Tolliver. We are speaking with the candidates for Little Rock Mayor. This is a forum focusing on crime. It's the second in a series of five presented by the Central Arkansas Library System, the League of Women Voters of Pulaski County, the American Association of University Women, and KUAR 89.1. I'm Bobby Ampazon with Arkansas Public Media. Question number two will begin with candidate Warwick Sabin. You'll have 1 minute. What do you believe is the best way to police Little Rock?
Well, I think community policing is by far the best strategy. It's something I talk about a lot because I've experienced it in my neighborhood. I've lived in Capitol View now for 14 years. And for the bulk of the time that I've lived there, we had what was known as a COPP officer, a community-oriented police person who was in the neighborhood. Everybody knew Officer Crace. He was on his bicycle. He was walking a beat. Because of that, he could get better information more quickly. He could respond more effectively. Most importantly, the relationship with the community was better. And if you look over the last couple of decades, when we had community policing instituted after the last big crime wave in the early 90s, you saw a decrease that was commensurate with the increase in community policing. And then the police took the community police officers out of the neighborhoods a few years ago, and you've seen the increase in crime go up. I think we need to reinvest in community policing. I think it's good for our community. It's good for relations between the police and the community, and it's the most effective way to address crime.
Thank you, Mr. Sabin. Candidate Baker Curris, you have 1 minute.
Okay. We've had community policing as a city goal for the last 2 years. If you look at our goals, you'll see it written down in our budget document. It's there, but we haven't executed because we've had vacancy. We've balanced our budget on the backs of our police department with vacancy savings, which is one way of saying we don't fund everything in our budget, and that's how we make it work. That's not acceptable to me. It's not acceptable to any of us. We've got to build from a strong foundation. So if we put it in the budget, we've got to mean it when it comes to policing. I will mean it. The other thing we've got to do is grab a hold of this interagency cooperation that really made the difference in the 90s, and it's making the difference now. Crime doesn't stop at a city border. It doesn't stop at a river. It's regional problems that we have. So we have to cooperate very directly and very carefully, not only with our police department, but with the county, with the state, and with federal agencies that deal with organized crime, which is what we're talking about in our city. Oftentimes it's drug-related, and these are people that know what they're doing. And we've got to get busy and work together, and that's how we'll do it.
Thank you, Mr. Curris. Frank Scott, you have 1 minute.
In a Scott administration, we will advocate to increase our police force from 593 police officers to 700 sworn police officers. Thereby, we will focus on community policing. We have to make certain that our police officers get outside of their vehicles and actually walk the streets and communicate with others to build relationships and trust so they can receive the tips that they need to receive to make certain that we can prosecute and arrest the violent criminals that are going about. Secondly, we have to make certain that we work with our prosecuting attorney's office to create a specialized gun violence court. That way, those worst offenders are addressed quickly, fast, and in a hurry. Not only that, we have to show appreciation towards our police force by having career ladders so to make certain that they understand that we appreciate them and create a career for this particular workforce as we move forward. But again, we have to have de-escalation tactics, understand an implicit bias, and cultural competency in our city as we go on around. It's more than just policing. We have to protect and serve our entire community.
Thank you, Mr. Scott. Candidate Vincent Tolliver, you have 1 minute.
Thanks, Bobby. What does police in the community look like for Vincent Tolliver as mayor? Well, this is what it looks like. It looks like having officers pair with, we have 12 neighborhood resource centers scattered throughout the city of Little Rock. I think our officers need to know who those people are. I think they need to partner with those people, and they need to walk throughout the neighborhoods. We also need to look at the 14 department heads. How many times have you seen the people who are running the city departments out in the community? I think that that needs to change. I think that we need to have mandatory town hall meetings where all 14 department heads for the city of Little Rock are mandated to come out and meet and greet the community, walk around the neighborhoods, walk around the block. It will make a difference.
Thank you, Candidate Tolliver. And finally, Glenn Schwartz, you have 1 minute.
Well, I think it's going to help if we have laws that make sense. It will help the policemen get out into the community and describe what it is they're trying to do. I also like the community-based bicycle patrolmen, and noticed that they did disappear from the alert centers a few years ago. Excuse me. All these are really good ideas I've heard from my fellow candidates, too. So community policing, I would like to see to go back to that. But I don't think we have to have a much bigger police force. Let's just may have laws that make sense and concentrate on violent crime.
Thank you, Mr. Schwartz. This is a forum on crime in Little Rock with candidates for the Little Rock mayor's position. I'm Bobby Ampazon. Question number 3, we'll begin with candidate Baker Curris. He'll have 1 minute to answer. Is the Little Rock Police Department appropriately staffed and resourced to meet the expectations of the community? If not, would you support an increased tax to fund it?
Well, you know, we've got, when we're fully staffed, about 593 people who were sworn to protect and serve. They take an oath to protect and serve. We've never been fully staffed in the last 3 or 4 years, so we really don't know what we've got. We haven't run it the way we budgeted for it. We've got about 750 people who work for the police department, and I can grind on the numbers. If we added another 100 policemen, it would cost about $92,000 per person, or $9.2 million, which we don't have. We just had, our revenues are falling short by about $3.5 million this year. So the question is not exactly can we add more police. Even if we wanted to, I'm not sure we could. I think the better thing is to become more effective, more efficient, try to drive more of our policing out into the streets, just what we did in the school district when I was there. Our team put more of our people in schools where teaching and learning occurs. I think we need to really concentrate on deciding if we can possibly put more of our officers on the streets where policing actually occurs.
Thank you, Mr. Curris. Frank Scott, you have 1 minute.
I've learned in a good book, your heart is where your treasure lies. And a budget reflects your critical priorities. If safety is truly a priority for our city, we have to find the not eight, but somewhere close to $10 million to increase our police force from 593 to 700, if that truly is an issue. Safety is not only a factual issue in the city of Little Rock, it's an image issue, which hurts our economic development and educational achievement. So, number one, we have to increase our police force to make certain that we can cover the 124 square miles in our city, because every area of Little Rock has its own flavor. We have to focus on community policing. We have to make certain our police force has control and utmost certainty of cultural competency as it relates to de-escalation tactics, again, and implicit bias. I have a student tie on right now. I may be treated differently when I go home in Southwest Little Rock when I have my jeans and tennis shoes. That's a reality. We have to understand that, and that's how we'll move forward in the city of Little Rock under the Scott administration. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Scott. Vincent Tolliver, you have 1 minute.
I think we need to first get to the 593 officers that we're budgeted for. That's the first thing. I think that when you think about policing the community, you really need to think about what that means. That does not mean police officers should do it all alone. That means that they should have partnerships throughout the community, neighborhood associations, neighborhood resource centers, churches, ministers. If you see something, say something. And I think they should also be very responsive to the neighbors, because neighbors are on the first line, and they will let police officers know what's going on in their neighborhoods. And so we need to be more responsive to that. I don't think necessarily we need to increase our police force. I think that we need to get more people in the community involved in community policing, because that's what the name is all about. Officers need to build trust with the neighbors and the neighborhoods throughout the city. And when you build that trust, crime goes down, in my opinion.
Thank you, Mr. Tolliver. Candidate Glenn Schwartz, you have a minute.
I do not believe in increasing the police department at this time. You know, you could increase it on and on until you have a police state. You must have laws that make sense. And how about we teach honesty in the schools? Because every one of us makes a decision sometime in their life. Do I want to be an honest person, or do I want to be a scallywag or something? And honest people, I think, have a better grasp of reality. Teach that to the kids in the schools. I don't know if it takes policemen or some kind of a resource officer to teach this basic philosophy. I don't care if you're from the, if you don't have a job or you haven't been educated enough or what your background is. At some point, everybody makes a decision whether to be an honest person or a criminal.
Thank you, Mr. Schwartz. And finally, Warwick Sabin.
Thank you. When I started my exploratory committee for mayor back in July of 2017, the first thing I talked about were the 81 vacancies in the Little Rock Police Department and the fact that we needed to get them filled right away. And, you know, we need to continue to work toward having a fully staffed police department. And then we do need to have a discussion that's based on data of how big our police department needs to be to cover a city of our size. When I talk to police officers, for instance, in the Northwest Division, they talk about that they cover a land area that's bigger than most cities in the state of Arkansas, and they're too spread out, and they don't have the opportunity to cover it adequately. When it comes to the budget, you know, we need to prioritize public safety. And I agree that a budget reflects your priorities, and we need to make this number one. One quick example, when it comes to a tax, we had a tax that we passed, and we passed it partly to fund public safety. But everything else got funded first. We built a tech park, but we still haven't built the new police headquarters that was promised in that tax. We need a mayor who will stand up for the priorities that the people of the city expect us to stand up for, and public safety is first.
Thank you, Mr. Sabin. We are speaking with candidates for Little Rock Mayor. This is a forum focused on crime. It's the second in a series of five presented by the Central Arkansas Library System, the League of Women Voters of Pulaski County, the American Association of University Women, and KUAR 89.1. I'm Bobby Ampazon with Arkansas Public Media. Our fourth question will go to candidate Frank Scott. He'll have 1 minute to answer. According to the department's own data, as cited in a report by KATV and reporter Scott Carroll, the Little Rock Police exercised use of force 241 times in 2017. 3 out of 4 of those incidents involved an African American. Do you consider that disproportionate, and what's happening?
In our frank discussions on public safety, those facts tend to be true, unfortunately. Again, as I shared many times, there is a difference of a policing depending on race, depending on the area of town. That's the truth. Many people don't want to hear it or like it, but that's the fact. Hence the reason why in the Scott administration we have to have an independent review commission that focuses on police misconduct and police brutality. We have to address these issues that many times we want to cover under the bed but are actually happening in the city of Little Rock, and that's what has to happen moving forward. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Scott. Next question. I have 1 minute to answer. Mr. Vincent Tolliver.
Yes, it's disproportionate, but that shouldn't surprise anyone given the climate that we're living in currently and given what's happening across the country. You know, when it comes to how police treat members of the community, studies will tell you that it's a difference when they're approaching African-American boys in particular. One of the great things that I'm happy about in our campaign, we have an initiative called Black Boys Are Brilliant. And what that does is it encourages and empowers black boys as residents of Little Rock. The targeted ages are 5 to 18. We're giving them some simple facts, but those simple facts make a difference. One, based on the street they're living in, we're telling them what their ward number is. We're telling them who their city director is. We're providing the number of the city director. We're giving them a name of a police officer who is involved in the community, Sergeant Willie Davis, and we're also letting them know who the police chief is. So when they have an encounter with a police officer who is not his friend, he can pull out his list on his cell phone, out of his backpack, and say, look, this is my city director, this is the police chief, okay. This is a guy who likes me and who works in the community, and that changes the narrative in the relationship between that guy and the police officer who is potentially not his friend.
Thank you, Mr. Tolliver. Mr. Glenn Schwartz.
Well, I would need more information on the statistics. You say 3/4 of the 241 violent encounters were black or African American. Well, how many encounters total? You know, is that an untoward number if 3/4 of their interactions are with African Americans or blacks? So I would need more information. I don't see a racial bias of the police towards violence, but if that should happen, of course, that should be gotten rid of as soon as possible.
Thank you, Candidate Schwartz. Mr. Warwick Sabin.
I don't think we can ever deny that there's implicit and explicit bias in law enforcement, both here in Little Rock and around the country. And I think we have to acknowledge the racial divisions and tensions that exist in our community, but also within our police department. You know, we have 2 different organizations that represent police officers. We have the Fraternal Order of Police, and we have the Little Rock Black Police Officers Association. I think that's indication enough that we have some work to do to address these issues. And, you know, I've indicated from the very beginning that we need to have an independent citizens commission to evaluate incidents where there's use of force in any instance, because, quite frankly, most police officers are hardworking, good people who are trying to do their jobs the right way, but when you have a few bad apples, they definitely spoil the bunch. And in order to have faith and trust within the community, we need to have a neutral arbiter overseeing that. And so as mayor, I want to be part of having the public discussion of this, acknowledging the reality of it, and putting measures into a place to address it so that we can build confidence in the community that law enforcement will be handled neutral and with as much as little bias as possible.
Thank you, Mr. Sabin. And then finally on this question, Baker Curris.
I can't tell you, based on what you've just told me, whether those statistics are meritorious or not, but I can tell you one thing, that there is implicit bias in our community. We're not colorblind. We'd like to be. I think most of us would endeavor to be, but we're not. We have a black police chief. I don't think we should ignore that fact, and I think that's a good thing. We have a black city manager who's the direct supervisor of that police chief. We have many, many officers, black and white, who take that oath to protect and serve and do their dead-level best every single day. So I don't know, but I do know one thing. I've devoted the better part of my adult life to affording opportunity to people, no matter what color. And I will not stand it, I will not tolerate it, and nobody should. If we have disparate treatment, unfair practices, anything like that, we need to step up calmly and talk about it and say it won't be tolerated, address it straight up, head on, every chance we can, whether it's in our schools, where I've been active since 1980, or whether it's in our city in any department, including the police department.
Thank you, Mr. Curris. This is a forum on crime in Little Rock with candidates for Little Rock Mayor. I'm Bobby Ampazon. We shift now to questions from the audience, and we'll begin, as we began the program, with candidate Vincent Tolliver. This question comes from audience member Ruth Bell. What are the city's two most significant crime issues?
Well, Ruth Bell, thank you very much for the question. We've talked at length about crime, of course, but when you ask the question, what are the two most serious? The statistics say, Ruth, that rape and homicide. Well, no, that's a mistake. The statistics say that property, theft of property, and rape are the two worst crimes that we have in the city of Little Rock.
Thank you, Mr. Tolliver. Mr. Glenn Schwartz.
593 officers sworn to protect and serve, protect the innocent and serve as guardians of the Constitution. The most significant crime issues I see are that we have these things that are illegal and sending innocent people to prison. Let's look at it from that direction. So I reiterate, I'm going to decriminalize marijuana in Little Rock, allow the police to concentrate on real and violent crime, crimes that have a victim. Those are the most significant ones. That would be robbery and assault, things that actually hurt people. And I think concentrating on those kinds of crimes is going to help us build a safer city for the future.
Thank you, Mr. Schwartz. Warwick Sabin, 1 minute.
Sure. Well, by the numbers, the most significant two areas of crime in Little Rock are property crime and aggravated assault. But I think this is a really good opportunity to talk about some of the more innovative things that we could do here in Little Rock if we started to adopt practices that occur in other cities that have really addressed this problem effectively. For instance, this week you might have seen there's a newfound sort of understanding of truancy that the Little Rock School District is trying to address. Well, truancy actually contributes a lot to property crime. If you go around the country and you take a look at the police departments that have worked alongside school districts to address truancy, it reduces the number of daytime robberies that occur. That's something we need to take a look at. And other police departments, the second thing I want to mention is having a dedicated domestic violence unit, because so much violent crime begins in the home with domestic violence, and a lot of police departments have instituted some really innovative practices where they have units dedicated to this, and it really helps to reduce overall crime. I'd like to see that happen in Little Rock.
Thank you, Mr. Sabin. Baker Curris.
I'm going to take a little different turn here. I think there are several things that we simply must do, and the first thing we must do is fully staff our police department, run it professionally, and then we must fund it professionally, not just on the operating side, but with capital dollars that we need to dedicate. We have officers using antiquated equipment, old cars. That's not going to work. We have to fully devote ourselves to the fundamental issues of law enforcement and then motivate, guide, and direct those people. The second thing, which I think is critical, is we have to revitalize our neighborhoods. Because if we want the money to do the things that we need to do both with our policing, we have to come up with the money. There's nobody going to bring us that money, and we're losing right now in sales taxes and property taxes. We're not meeting our projections, and we're not going to if we don't revitalize our neighborhoods. We'll also give us neighbors, nice neighborhoods where people live and work and play, and that's how you reduce crime. If you look where crime occurs, it occurs in places where there are vacant lots, vacant buildings, and people who are not looking after one another. We have to fix that.
Thank you, Mr. Curris. Finally, for this question, Frank Scott, Jr.
The two most important crimes is any two crimes that actually happens in the city of Little Rock. We have to make certain that we have a culture of cultural competency in the city of Little Rock's police force. We have to increase our police force from 593 to 700. We have to have a gun violence court that makes certain that we prosecute the most violent offenders in our city. But not only that, we have to address the root causes of crime in our city, which is poverty and education. Hence the reason why last week I presented my opportunity agenda that focuses on a summer reading academy for third graders. Because if we don't have our third graders read by the time they're in third grade, they're going to either be dead or in jail in your house or my house. We have to understand that as we move forward. But not only that, we have to have a truancy project, hence the reason why I included that in my opportunity agenda as well. So I'm very happy that Mr. Saban agrees with that as well. So again, it's about cultural competency, it's about implicit bias, it's about de-escalation tactics, it's about understanding our budget that we move from 593 to 700 for our police force, and we have to bind together. Thank you.
Thank you, Candidate Scott. We are speaking with the candidates for Little Rock Mayor. This is a forum focused on crime. It's the second in a series of five presented by the Central Arkansas Library System, the League of Women Voters of Pulaski County, the American Association of University Women, and KUAR 89.1. I'm Bobby Ampazon. This next question comes
I'm sorry to interrupt. I actually told Ruth an incorrect answer. Could I correct that? Because 50% of what I said was correct, but I told her one wrong answer. Can I correct that? I apologize, Ruth. I said rape, and it's not rape. It's larceny and theft. So the two, by the numbers, the two biggest crimes in the city, larceny and theft and property. So I apologize for the wrong answer.
All right. As a journalist, I will always stop for accuracy. This question from
Thank you.
Audience member Carolyn Shearman. Should Little Rock cooperate with ICE? ICE is the Immigration and Customs Enforcement. If so, how and to what extent? This question will begin with candidate Glenn Schwartz.
Well, good. Yes, I think we should be cooperating with ICE. I think somebody asked at one of our debates last week if we should be a sanctuary city, and I answered that absolutely not. I don't believe we cooperating with ICE is a good idea. I think people should be following the law when they try to immigrate to this country from whatever country. So I'm in an affirmative of cooperating with the immigration services.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Schwartz. Warwick Sabin.
Well, I think we've established pretty well tonight that the Little Rock Police Department has enough on its hands to bother them with another responsibility that's actually a federal responsibility. I think that immigration enforcement needs to be handled by the appropriate federal agency. Little Rock Police Department ought to be focused on handling all of the crime that's occurring in the city. And most importantly, I don't think our citizens should be worried about being stopped, whether they're driving in their car, at the grocery store, or for some other reason, and being asked for their papers. I don't think that's American. Most of our citizens here in Little Rock are trying to work hard, raise their families, earn a living. And it's important for us to be a welcoming city. The city was built upon everybody who came here and were able to build a life here, and I think we need to extend that same opportunity to anybody who wants to come and play by the rules and be a productive part of our society. So my answer to your question is no.
Thank you, Mr. Sabin. Candidate Baker Curris.
Well, the issue of enforcement with ICE is really two different issues. I don't think we should civilly enforce immigration laws at our level. We're not funded to do that. The government hasn't asked us to do that, and I don't think we should do that. I don't think any of us wants to be subject to unreasonable search and seizure, nor do any of us believe that profiling is a good idea. So if you want to be free constitutionally from the things like an unreasonable search and seizure, then I think we have to afford that to every single person in our community, and I want to do that. I don't want people pulling people over based on how they look. Now, on the other hand, if we do have someone in custody that we've detained because there was probable cause to detain that person, then I do think if we have warrants for that person, no matter who issued the warrant, whether it's ICE or whether it's another state, if we have felony warrants outstanding against anyone in our jails, we should seek to cooperate. That doesn't mean, though, that we stop people or that we impose on people or that we don't welcome people.
Well, thank you, Mr. Curris. Frank Scott, Jr., 1 minute.
The city of Little Rock should always be an open city and a welcome city. I firmly believe that the Little Rock Police Department should focus on its own city as it relates to police and crime. We definitely have a lot of issues on hand right now. We need to focus there. We should not forward the federal government's job and mission. If there's a need to be cooperative, that's the need at that case point in time. But our discerned focus should always be on our city first.
Thank you, Mr. Scott. And finally, candidate Vincent Tolliver.
Thank you for the question, Bobby. The answer to your question is no. I would not cooperate with ICE. I think it's inhumane and I think it's unconscionable. Further, I would take a page out of Mayor Keisha Lance Bottoms' book in Atlanta, where she has issued an executive order preventing jails from housing detainees. And I would do the same in Little Rock.
Thank you, Mr. Tolliver. This, as a reminder, is a forum on crime in Little Rock with candidates for Little Rock Mayor, and I'm Bobby Ampazon. Our next audience question comes from Ms. Stacy Pendergrass. Before I get to that, I will say that we are going to begin this question with candidate Warwick Sabin, who will have 1 minute to answer. My husband and I own a business on Rodney Parham in West Little Rock. We are part of a new, quote, West Village Merchants Association that wants to make our area safe for our customers. What specifically will you do to work towards this with our merchants?
Well, I think it's a great question, and I'm really glad that Stacy, you and your husband and the other merchants in the area want to form that kind of association. What would I do? I think that, you know, our police department, first of all, can basically be a liaison with an association like that to provide guidance for what are the best practices for, you know, any merchant that's trying to, you know, create a safer environment. And we can follow that up, I think, with you know, investments in infrastructure. You know, if you tell us that there's a lack of lighting or there are certain areas that maybe are overgrown that we can cut back, I think those are the kinds of things that a city can cooperate with merchants to make sure that we're creating a safer environment, both for yourself and for the people who are patronizing your store. I think that if we had more associations like that in more neighborhoods, coupled with community policing, where people are really taking responsibility for their neighborhoods and for their areas, I think we can come together as a city and really mitigate the problems that we've been experiencing. And so I applaud you for your efforts.
Thank you, Mr. Sabin. Baker Curris, 1 minute.
That is a great question, and I've actually worked with merchants associations in that neighborhood, and they've done some innovative and exciting things, everything from hiring private non-uniform security guards during peak seasons like Christmas, to having a focus on lighting, a focus on community policing, so to speak, within their own ranks, so that if they see anything, they say something. With meetings with local police officers and briefings on what's going on in their neighborhood. But most crimes are not unique. They run in cycles and they run in spurts. So communication is a huge, huge thing. And you'll see neighborhood associations everywhere that can impact what goes on in their neighborhood. Not just move it around, but put a stop to it. And that's why neighborhood associations and marketing associations are very critical to what I'm talking about, because it is a community problem. And we can't just sit back and ask the police to fix everything. We've got to be vigilant on our own and help one another. And so when we see something, we say something and we act. And that's what I think you should do and you're doing. So thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Curris. Frank Scott, Jr.
I applaud you on creating this Merchants Association. I think it's a great idea to make certain that you're sharing your community concerns, but also bound each other together within that community. First and foremost, it's the job of the police force to police, is to protect and to serve. I firmly believe that we have an adequately staffed police force of moving from 593 to 700. You can have a police force that will be able to have true community policing that can build a relationship with you, build trust with you, so you and that merchants association will be able to share different things that the police force may or may not know to make certain they can do the appropriate opportunities to protect and serve. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Scott. Candidate Vincent Tolliver.
Thank you, Bobby. Well, the first thing I'd do, Stacy Pendergrass, is I would come down and meet with you, and I would also bring with me the city director for your particular area in West Little Rock, and come up with some ideas about how we can approach your concerns. Because, for example, if we're walking around your business and if you've invited other members of the merchant associations to the meeting, we can all sort of brainstorm and figure out what the needs are and what are the best ways to approach those needs. And if I think of something in that meeting, I'll throw in some ideas too, because I think that it takes all hands on deck when it comes to safety. So congratulations on your business. But the first thing I'd do is I'd come down and personally meet with you, and then I'd also bring a city director and even a law enforcement officer, for example, Lieutenant Ford, who's the spokesperson for the Little Rock Police Department, to sort of brainstorm and figure out some ways we can better assist.
Thank you, Mr. Tolliver. And finally, on this question, Glenn Schwartz.
What was the name of that again?
The West Village Merchants Association.
West Village, okay. Well, I'll just tell you the example of the downtown partnership. Nobody has a worse crime problem than downtown. And if it's not so much crime, it's the staggering amount of bums that are going down there all the time. And the downtown partnership has hired a couple of extra guys to, like, walk around and try to discourage, you know, some of the more aggressive panhandling and stuff like that. And those guys are pretty good at it. They're not policemen. They're not actually, I think they do carry handcuffs with them, but they do not. Okay. Stand corrected by Director Kampouras. But I like the idea of hiring a couple of extra people to try to keep an eye on what was going on in the downtown area.
Okay. Thank you, Candidate Schwartz. We have time for perhaps two or three audience questions, and so I'll ask my next one. This one will be directed to Candidate Baker Curris, and it comes from Mary Ellen Vandergrift. What can the city do about recidivism?
Well, I'm glad they brought that up, because many of you know that about 52% of the people that we send to prison are back in prison in 3 years. If we could just do more there, we would make a big difference. There are several things that the city needs to focus on. I'm in prisons once a month at least, talking to people who are on their way out. And the first thing they need is a place. The second thing they need is a job. And if they can't get a place to live and they can't get a job, where do they go? They go back to the people that they used to go with, and things don't go well. Those are two things that we can work on, and there are people here that are working on those. I've talked to social entrepreneurs, people who want to form consortiums and businesses that want to put these programs together to help people with the fundamental things that they really need. And there are people that will hire people who are coming out of prison with a criminal record. I've done that myself as a small business owner, and they make good employees if you can just give them a chance. The city can be a moving force in that area.
Thank you, Candidate Curris. Frank Scott, Jr.
As a minister, once a quarter I go to Tucker Max Security Union to preach and teach the Word of God. And I continue to hear and feel the effects of the door shutting behind me as I walk into Tucker Max Security Unit. And you understand, as you're sharing and visiting with these brothers and sisters, that many times it was due to a lack of education and a lack of opportunity as to the reason why they're in jail right now. And so as they come out, we have to make certain they don't resort to the same things that got them there in the first place. We have to make certain that we as a city have appropriate job training, but not only job training, a focus on entrepreneurship. Those are the two factors that will help. We have to expand our reentry program that we have right now in the city of Little Rock, because there are only a certain amount of jobs that many of these brothers and sisters can have. So we have to focus on job training. We have to expand the reentry programs that we have right now. But not only that, we have to have a strategic focus on entrepreneurship. And there are a lot of faith-based organizations that would love to have more city help to expand their programs right now. There's the Exodus Project. There's the Lighthouse Project. There are many projects right now that we have to move forward.
Thank you, Mr. Scott. Vincent Tolliver.
Thank you, Bobby, and thank you, Mary Ellen, for the question. One of the most important things that the city of Little Rock can do to assist with the recidivism rate is a progressive measure called Ban the Box. What that means is, on the applications for the city of Little Rock, you would not have a box that asks about whether you have been charged with a felony or not. That box would not even be on the application. It has worked in other cities. I think it can work here in the city of Little Rock. So I am a proponent, from a policy perspective, of banning the box.
Thank you, Mr. Tolliver. Candidate Glenn Schwartz.
Well, recidivism is a problem in the entire society, and I think that the thing that works best is when you teach absolute honesty to people, even when they were in prison. I've advocated that in the high schools and in community groups, but I think that they found that when they did teach the prisoners to be absolutely honest, and also I'm an advocate of laws that absolutely make sense, that these two factors can reduce recidivism. It's not really a function of the city of Little Rock to do that. It's the function of the correctional criminal justice system to teach honesty, and that, you know, it's a decision that goes back as long as man has been around? Do I go out and try to be a productive citizen, or do I just go out there and become a highway one and clobber somebody over the head for what they have in their pockets?
Thank you, Candidate Schwartz. Warwick Sabin, 1 minute.
Right. The city already has a program where they try to prioritize hiring people who are coming out of prison. I tried to check the statistics on that. They haven't been updated on the City of Little Rock website since the beginning of 2017, but I certainly think that's a program that could be expanded. I also think this is an opportunity to collaborate with county, state, government, as well as the private sector, because there's some really interesting programs. Like right across the border in Saline County, they're working to train prisoners as they are about to be moving out of prison, giving them jobs working in a local facility. And when they are then moved out of prison, they've already got that job, they've already been trained on it, and they move right into the job right out of prison, which I think is one of the best things we can do, because Little Rock is where a lot of the people who are released from prison, no matter where they were in the state, end up. So we need to make sure that we're collaborating with the county and the state and making sure we're giving people every option to get a job and to, you know, be a productive member of society instead of turning our backs on them and giving them no other course but to return to criminal activity.
Thank you, Candidate Sabin. We're speaking with candidates for Little Rock Mayor in a forum focusing on crime. It's the second of five debates presented by the Central Arkansas Library System, the League of Women Voters of Pulaski County, the American Association of University Women, and KUAR 89.1. I'm Bobby Ampazon, and our next audience question will begin with Frank Scott Jr. It comes from Amanda Abernathy. Our state has legalized medical marijuana, and recreational use may be coming in the future. Are you in support of decriminalizing marijuana and exonerating those with criminal charges related to this issue?
Yes. We understand that the disproportionate impact that marijuana has on African Americans, Latinos, and other members of the people of color. That has been a strategic issue when you look at the difference between cocaine and crack and the difference on the war on drugs many years ago. We have to decriminalize marijuana. I look at medical marijuana as an entryway to the decriminalization of marijuana, and we have to move it forward because there has continued to be systematic and institutionalized racism as it relates to those particular laws, and so I would be in full support of that. We also have to have a low monetization of marijuana laws as well because our police force has more bigger fish to fry as we move forward rather than if someone has a dime bag or not.
Thank you, Candidate Scott. Vincent Tolliver.
Thank you, Bobby, and thank you, Amanda Abernathy, for the question. I will be terse. Yes, I would decriminalize marijuana, and yes, I would exonerate.
Thank you, Candidate Tolliver. And now, if you can top that, Candidate Glenn Schwartz.
May the Schwartz be with you.
Stand up for it, then.
Well, yeah, that's my main issue. I got the race. But now, how's it going to work? How is it going to work? Let me address that. Ken Richardson tried to do an ordinance a couple of months ago, and it was defeated 9-2. So as your mayor, I'm going to shepherd that through. At least it'll be 9-3 next time. And I'm going to shepherd it through to where, in fact, I got to explain this, that when you to decriminalize it at the local city level, what we need to do is pass a city ordinance that says that it's a violation. It's like a $100 fine. Now, you think that's a step backwards, but actually by making it a city violation, a $100 fine, you keep it from going to the state laws, so the Little Rock police could, like, write a violation, you pay your $100 fine. You're not threatened with the misdemeanor of a year in jail. You're not threatened with simultaneous possession of firearms or within 1,000 feet of a school. So this is the logic why we actually have to pass a decrim ordinance that would make it a violation instead of a misdemeanor or a felony.
Thank you, Candidate Schwartz. Mr. Warwick Sabin.
Right. So many cities around the country have already passed laws to basically make marijuana possession a low priority for their law enforcement, and I've supported that for a long time. I supported Ken Richardson's attempt to pass that ordinance to do so here, and it's really for two reasons. One, well, really three reasons. The police, again, have so many bigger fish to fry, and marijuana possession should not be something that they, you know, make a priority, especially when we've moved into legalizing medical marijuana. Number two, it's absolutely clear that, you know, the enforcement of these kinds of laws disproportionately affects communities of color. And that's unfair, it's not right, it leads to other problems in our criminal justice system, and we need to get rid of that. And number three, people are taking up space in our criminal justice system, in our prisons, for simply possessing marijuana, which is a nonviolent crime. And that shouldn't be the case. And, you know, when we have so many other more important things to be focusing on in Little Rock, I want to make sure that, you know, simply possessing marijuana is not a priority for our law enforcement.
Thank you, Mr. Sabin. Finally, on this question, Baker Curris.
Well, everybody knows that we have the most confusing marijuana laws. It's against the law federally. It's still a scheduled drug federally. We have now businesses that are going to be operating in our state that will be dealing with cash money and won't be able to deposit it in a bank because the bank says they can't handle this money because they're dealing with a criminal enterprise under federal law and they're federally regulated. So the notion that one city ought to do much of anything may be where we find ourselves, but that's not the way to solve this problem. If marijuana is bad and it's a scheduled drug federally, then we need to deal with the federal ramifications of that. Otherwise, it'll be a federal agent could arrest you in Little Rock for carrying a joint when it's not against the law in the city's law. So I think we don't need to focus on marijuana enforcement. We need to focus on driving while intoxicated, no matter whether that's because of wild turkey or marijuana. I'm not going after marijuana usage, but I will say this. We need federal guidance and federal leadership to conform all the laws so that it's not illegal federally and legal in the local arena.
Thank you, Mr. Curris. You're listening to a forum on crime in Little Rock with candidates for Little Rock mayor, and I'm Bobby Ampazon. We're running out of time, and so I'd like to deliver one last question. Candidates get a round of answers, but if I can ask the timekeeper to keep it to 30 seconds, not the full 60 seconds, we'll be able to squeeze this in for our broadcast. The question comes from audience member Pat Landis, and the question is to Mr. Tolliver first. What will be your first priority regarding crime when you take office? Your first priority.
Thank you, Pat Landis, for the question. My first priority regarding crime is to address the issue of the police chief. I think when you have a Little Rock Police Department where morale is low, there's dissension. You need to start at the top. So I would have a meeting first with the police chief and see if he really wants to remain in Little Rock, because indications are he doesn't.
Thank you, Candidate Tolliver. Candidate Glenn Schwartz, 30 seconds.
It's going to be a rehash of the last question. My first priority will be to pass a decriminalization ordinance. It would only be a violation, and that will start concentrating the police on real and violent crime. That's all.
Thank you, Candidate Schwartz. Warwick Sabin.
My first priority would be getting the police department fully staffed and resourced and embarking upon a study to make sure we know exactly what our staffing ought to be for the police department in order to cover the city adequately.
Thank you, Mr. Sabin. Candidate Baker Curris.
Under our ordinance that establishes the power of the mayor, I'm the CEO. The mayor is the CEO. As CEO, I would set clear goals and objectives. I would allocate resources. I would have the responsible parties be assigned their responsibilities. I would have them accept those responsibilities. I would have a clear budget. I would have them agree that that budget's sufficient to allow them to meet the goals and priorities that we have. We would have benchmarks. We would establish a way to monitor progress, and then we would work collectively and cooperatively to establish the accomplishment of our clear goals.
Thank you, Mr. Curris. Finally, Frank Scott Jr.
As mayor, I will convene a meeting with the city manager, the chief of police, and every member of the board of directors to schedule and figure out how we can appropriately move from 593 to 700 police officers on day one.
Thank you, Candidate Scott. That concludes our questions and answers, both from me, the moderator, and you, the audience members. It's time for closing statements from each of the candidates, and in keeping with the sequence that we've been using all night, we'll begin this question with Candidate Glenn Schwartz.
I want to bring up one more deal. What do I got, a minute?
Yes, 1 minute. Okay.
I want to bring up one more deal in this thing on crime, and that is something we've seen lately, and it's like we have a bum on every corner. There is one down here on John Glenn at Colonel Glenn. university. The lady is actually standing in the streets now and going from car to car. This is highly dangerous. And I don't know what kind of ordinance we have to pass to ban these, ban anybody from using the medians and being out on the street trying to do whatever kind of solicitation they're trying to do. That seems to be a new problem with Little Rock and one that has to be addressed right away. I'll just conclude that I am Glenn Schwartz. I am a candidate for mayor. Mayor Schwartz, be with you on November 6th, 2018.
Thank you, Mr. Schwartz. Warwick Sabin, you have 1 minute.
Thank you. It's so important for everybody to remember why we're having this discussion. People right now in our city are scared. They're scared of crime that might affect them in their home, that might affect them on the streets. People who are visiting our city are scared. And, you know, we had the salt bowl incident at War Memorial Stadium recently, and there were a lot of reasons for that, but certainly one factor was just the image that Little Rock has. People are being touched by violent crime, by property crime. It's affecting, again, our quality of life, how we feel as being citizens of Little Rock. It's causing people to move away. It's preventing people from moving here. It's preventing people from sending their kids to school here or starting a business here or taking a job here. These are very, very critical, fundamental things that are affecting the future of our city. And if we don't get this issue right, we won't have an opportunity to get everything else right. And that's why I'm committed to making crime and public safety my number one priority as mayor. I've got a plan. Go to sabinformayor.com. Look at what I've written there. It's extensive and it's in detail, and it's a plan that will work.
Thank you, Mr. Sabin. Candidate Baker Curris.
Little Rock is a complex enterprise. It's lots of people, say 2,500 people at work, $265 million budget. It takes someone with experience who knows how to prioritize, allocate resources, and then go to work. I've got that experience. I've done it. And there's no extra money. Santa Claus is not going to show up with a bag of money and give us anything. We're going to have to do this on our own. We're going to have to build a city where it's growing, where we have sales tax revenues that grow and property tax revenues that grow to allow us to fund the things that we need. Police is priority one. And other first responders, incidentally. If we didn't have proof of that, we do now after what occurred tonight. We have to fund the fundamentals in our city, but we have to build a strong city based on growth and optimism and hope, because crime is a personal matter. It's not numbers on a page. It's not how many police you've got in the department. It's how many people are on the street with boots on the ground, meeting people, greeting people, understanding community need, and addressing that. That's what I'll do. That's what I did already as a superintendent. I can do that for you if you'll elect me mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Curris. Candidate Frank Scott, Jr.
Thank you for the opportunity today to share our vision about public safety and crime. Before we can ever truly secure our neighborhoods, we first have to move our city from being disconnected to connected. We can talk all day about all the numbers and all the budgets. We can do this and we can do that. But until we unify our city and focus on jobs growth, we won't be able to secure our neighborhoods. We won't be able to address the true issues of crime, which is poverty and education. We need a leader that understands that about our city as we move forward. And if you really want to change Little Rock, I ask that you vote for me. Everything else, we can be talking about this 4 years from now.
Thank you, Mr. Scott. And finally, candidate Vincent Tolliver.
Thank you, Bobby, and thank the League of Women Voters for putting on this incredible forum, second in a series of five. Our prayers are certainly going out to the volunteer that had a medical episode, so we are praying for her. Crime, while it is a big issue in Little Rock, I certainly don't ever want to be in the position of peddling fear. We have work to do. I'm more optimistic. We can do that work if all the stakeholders step up. If you elect Vincent Tolliver as your next mayor, I'll guarantee you one thing. People will always be the focus and will always be the center of policy and will always be the number one goal when moving this city forward. I want every resident in the city of Little Rock, when he or she wakes up in the morning, to know and feel that the city of Little Rock is rooting for him or her. Please vote Vincent Tolliver in 6, and you'll have the most progressive mayor ever in Little Rock. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Tolliver. And that, ladies and gentlemen, ends our forum. Please give these candidates a round of applause.
On behalf of the Central Arkansas Library System, the League of Women Voters, the American Association of University Women, and KUAR, I'd like to thank each of you for participating tonight and wish you good luck on November 6th. A quick reminder, our next forum will take place 6:30 to 7:30 p.m. Monday, September 24th, at the Hillary Rodham Clinton Children's Library. The topic for that forum will be infrastructure. We hope to see each of you there. I'm Bobby Ampazon of Arkansas Public Media. Thank you and good night.
This mayoral forum was a production of the Central Arkansas Library System, the League of Women Voters, the American Association of University Women, and UA Little Rock Public Radio.